mighty name. We have worshipped. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a big hand of praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. And welcome your neighbors to your left and to your right to Bible study. Ask them how their day's been, how they've been doing.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right, good evening, church. How you all doing tonight? Ask your neighbor, ask them how they are doing, how they are faring with this weather and the economy of Nigeria. Amen. Amen. We are not moved by the economy of this country. Even though we live here, we sojourn in this territory, but we live from the inside out. Amen? So every time when we tend to be distracted by what we can see going on in Nigeria, we choose to fix our gaze on our home country, the kingdom of God, where we belong. And then we get succor, we get comfort, we get strength, we get instruction, we get, what else, defense from that realm. And it helps us to, you know, it helps us to sustain and to maintain these hard times that are difficult to deal with. You know, we are living in the times and seasons where the Bible says only those that know their God will be strong. And they will do what? Exploits. So we trust God to help us to, you know, live on top of this world in the name of Jesus. So I welcome us once again to Bible study. And apologize for coming a bit late. I was trying my best to be here, but there was traffic on the way. And yes, Pastor sent his greetings. Please, let's clap for Pastor. He's not here physically. He's away for another assignment. All right. So I'm just going to continue from where he stopped. I'm just going to try to pick up from where he left off, and then you resume back when he's around. Amen. Okay, so Pastor has been teaching on, can somebody remind me, what's the series the Pastor started? The Total Man. The Total Man. I want you to say that to your neighbor. Tell them the Total Man. All right, the Total Man. So, of course, Pastor has done justice to that subject. He has already laid a very strong foundation by helping us to understand the components of the human anatomy. All right? He delved extensively on how that we can actually gain mastery over the three dimensions of man. What makes a complete man, a total man? It is no news anymore that we are aware that man is a tripartite being. Man is a spirit. Yeah? Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And then he lives in a physical body. I want you to say that to your neighbor. Say, man is a spirit. Or let us personalize and say, I am a spirit. I possess a soul, and I live in a physical body. So, yeah, I'm going to pick up from that standpoint. But, of course, Pastor has done a lot of teachings on how that we can grow, we can mature, and we can actually connect to God in a way that we put all of these three dimensions of the human anatomy into subjection, how that we can relate them to God, how that we can actually control our body, we can tame our body, how that we can get our spirit to be loaded with the fullness of God, such that it spills over to our soul, which is the seat of our intelligence, which is the house of our mind, will, and emotions, our chooser, feeler, and thinker, yeah? And then how it can also affect our body. I mean, it flows down from the spirit to the soul and then to the body. So today, I'm going to be speaking on what I've titled The Total Man's Code. That's going to be my subtopic tonight. Still the continuation of the series that Pastor started, The Total Man's Code. You guys are familiar with genetic code, you know. So when we're talking about code, we're talking about the characteristics of a matter. So today we're going to be dealing with the total man's code. I want to, since Pastor already did so much on teaching on the components of the human anatomy, I'm just going to talk briefly on the total man's code, all right? And what I'm going to be doing really is to help us to understand who a total man is, all right? We're going to talk about his characteristics. How do you identify a total man? I mean, what are the indicators that that actually point to a total man? How do you know a total man? How do you explain? How do you quantify a total man? So it's like I'm trying to dissect the characteristics or the characteristic traits of a total man from the standpoint of what the Bible teaches. We're going to be reading a few scriptures, but before we do, I want to quickly say a few things about what does the word total means. I have a few phrases here that translate the word total within the context of the subject we are dealing with. You know, we want to talk about the total man's code. All right, we want to talk about the characteristics. It will amaze you what you actually embodies as a total man. By the time we are done with this teaching tonight, I was also very awe-stricken when I was, you know, yeah, preparing for this class. It's going to be a class. Amen. We will learn a few things, you know. Interestingly, many of the things we're going to learn might not be new or strange to us, but it's just in a way to help us to reconnect to ourselves. That's my objective tonight. I want to help us to reconnect to ourselves. I want to help us to rediscover or to be reintroduced to ourselves. It will help you to actually value what God did by coming to earth in the body of Jesus Christ and by doing what he did on the cross to make us a total man. Are we following me tonight? Are we following me? All right, please. I don't want to be the only one just talking to myself. So when I ask questions, please answer me. Amen? All right, and please look to your neighbor. Make sure they are not fiddling with their phones. Aha. Because we are very quick to doing that. Unless you are using your phone for your Bible or you're using it to take notes. And I want to believe you are disciplined to just stick to doing that rather than chit-chatting and using your social media. Don't give room for the devil to deprive you of what God has in stock for you tonight. Amen. All right, so what total means? These are other phrases I could think of in order to understand the word total or the totality of man. Number one, whole. When you talk about total, you refer to whole, wholeness. You can call it completeness. I'm trying to break down the word total with every modern and contemporary phrases I can think of. When you talk of total, you're talking about lacking nothing, not deficient, full, roundness. When you talk of total, you're trying to say something that requires no aid, no external support for operation. When you talk of total, you're referring to something that functions independently. I like to use King James' phrase. He made it clear. He said, entirely wanting nothing. That's also what you can term the word total. Entirely wanting nothing. Or in other words, lacking nothing. You can also call total final. You can call it all. You can call it leaving nothing behind. You can call it nothing left or content checked. Now, these are just a few of the phrases that I can use to define the word total, because we want to try to really get to rediscover what a total man is. Or how do we identify one? How do we know that we are one total? All right? And that's what I want to do tonight. So the very first characteristics I'm going to deal with, which I'm going to spend some time on, is, let's turn our Bibles very quickly to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Media, please, you're going to help me with the scripture so we can save our time. I want everybody to please turn their Bibles to the book of Genesis, the book of beginning, the book that introduces us to the creation of man. Genesis 1, we're going to read verses 26 through 28, and chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 19, very quickly. Genesis 1 and verse 22. I want us to pay attention to every word of the scriptures we're going to be reading today. Genesis 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, my first characteristics of a total man, very quickly, my first characteristics of a total man. Now, the very first characteristics, how you identify who a total man is. The total man bears the image of its creator and his likeness. What did I say? The total man bears the image of who? Of his creator and his likeness. And I'm going to really delve into the true meaning of what image and likeness really means, to help us to really understand the depth of the masterpiece of God. How that you are a complex figure. Another man cannot really understand you to the degree at which God has designed you, or God does understand you. All right? I said the total man bears the image of the Creator and his likeness. Now, you want to ask, what does image really mean? Now, image, or what I can call signature, is not just a label or a trademark or stamp. Rather, it is the very character of the bearer or owner. I'm going to say that again. Image or signature is not just what? A label. It's just like the name of a person. In Hebrew culture, the name of a person is not just a title. When somebody is given a name, they don't give them that name for a title or for identification. Name actually means the person. Name in Hebrew actually means what we call character. It means the character of that person. So when they call somebody, David. Now you see that many of these people in the Bible, many of these characters in the Bible actually played out their name. If you are very conversant with the scriptures, you discover that names are not just given for a title, all right? They are given for what? If you are following me, for what? For character. The name of a person is that person. It's not just a title. The name of a person is character. It's the true essence of that person. When this guy was born, that the mother gave birth to in distress or sorrow, what did she call him? What? He called him Jabez, right? And what did the Bible call the meaning of Jabez? What? And what did you see happen to that guy? That guy lived out that character. So it was, I mean, the way to say it is, names were not just given for fashion. That's another way to say it. You know, I was checking some names online, and I actually came across some names given to people in the Western culture. They call people rice. They call them different kind of name, and I'm like, these people really don't understand names. I've seen footballers that bear different kind of name. I've seen rice. I've seen what? Cook, and so on and so forth. Very funny names. I mean, that's because they never understand the true meaning of name. They don't know the purpose of names. But this is where I'm going. Image, all right, is not just a label. It's not a trademark. It's not just a stamp. Rather, it is the very character of the bearer. And I'm going to prove it to you very, shortly. In other words, the image of any product carries in it the reputation, the credibility, trust, and identity of its manufacturer. The image of anything, right? The image of on any product carries in it the reputation, credibility, trust, and identity of its manufacturer. Now, let me explain what that simply means. How many of you know Samsung? I mean, y'all know Samsung, right? Okay, y'all know Apple, right? If you use an Apple phone, can you just raise it up? Don't worry. I don't use Apple phone, so I'm not intimidated. Amen. If you use Apple phone, let me see. Just raise it up. Or you don't have to raise it up. Just bring it out. If you are using Samsung too, bring it out. Or if you're using other types of phones, also bring it out. Now, for Apple, there is a logo. I think it's usually at the back, right? I mean, there's a logo at the back of every Apple product. Now, what do you think that is? You think it's just for fashion? Or you think it's just for trademark? Now, that image, I mean, that's the image of Apple. That product in your hand is the entirety, is the totality of the Apple Incorporation that you are holding in micro matter. You are holding the entire algorithm of Apple in your hand. And you wouldn't have access to Apple products or Samsung or Nokia or Infinix or any type of product at all that comes from any manufacturer until they put the logo on that product. Why did you think they do that? Now, let me say it this way. No product leaves the manufacturing plant until they have imputed their image on it. Image actually speaks a lot about the credibility, the authenticity, the trust, in fact, the nature of the manufacturer. They are telling you that we are putting our name on the line. We are putting our reputation on the line. This product you are about to buy in the market or that you already got bears our image, and the image is the certification that you need that this product will work. Everything that we have said it would do, it will do it.
If peradventure this product malfunctions, you can return it back to us. You can ship it back to us on our expenses, and we return a new one to you, or we fix that one. You're not going to have to pay a dime. And that's what they call the warranty and the guarantee. You know, they usually put a manual in the product. I hope you know. And at the back of the manual, you see the guarantee and the warranty policies there. I mean, yeah, the guarantee will tell you that this product has been proven, has been already used. Hello, did you hear what I said? This product has been what? Has already been used. What you call new in your hand was already used. And you want to ask me how? Now, the reason is no product leaves the manufacturing plant until they have already carried out all the functions that they said it was going to do. They would have done all the tests. All the testings that could be done would have been carried out on the product. It is until they are rest assured that, okay, this is an Apple product. This is iPhone Pro Max 11 or 12 or whatever it is. It can do camera shots. You can play video with this Apple device. You can connect to the internet with this Apple device. Now, until they have used up the phone to test all the functions that they programmed into it, it's not leaving the plant. Are you hearing me? In other words, they already built the future of that phone in it. And they are putting their image on it to certify that this is already tested and proven is going to definitely carry out what we wanted it to do. Now, when God made man, he made him also a finished product, a complete product ready to be delivered to the marketplace. And that marketplace is the earth, right? Now, what does that tell you? The last thing any manufacturer puts on their product is actually the first thing on their mind. The last thing they put on it, which is the image, is actually the first thing on their mind, which is the image. The image certifies any product as tested and proven, ready for the purpose for which it was made or created. We just saw in Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. So when God made you, he made you a total man. He already programmed your purpose within you, your future, everything that you can become, the potentials, everything has been deposited in you. So you have been tested and proven to function properly. And so he puts his image on you. No product leaves the manufacturing plant until it has been used, like I said. That is, it bears the image of its creator, which approves it complete, all, or total. Now you see that a total man always carries the image of its creator and its likeness. So the image actually reflects the actual character of its maker. So as a total man that you are, you bear in you the character of God. The world don't know God, but because you are his product, when they see you, they see God. So every product that we are familiar with is like a miniature, is like a version, or is like the art of the creator handy. It's like the heart of the creator that we can hold. So a total man is a visible, how do I say it now? Is a visible
element or a fragment of the Creator himself. You can't see God, the world can't see God, but when they see you, you show them God. Are you following me? So you bear the image of its Creator and his likeness. So likeness also talks about ability. Say ability. What a product can do. It talks about what a product can do. So God wrote a program containing his nature and run it into man. Because man is God's product. It's like he made a clone of himself. You know, it's like, this is God. And he said, okay, I'm going to make another like me. I'm already king in heaven. Now I want to put somebody in the earth realm. I want to put somebody in the colony of earth. Heaven is the home country. Now let me create somebody like me who is going to be like a legitimate occupant in the earth realm. Since I am already, heaven is my domain. So let me put somebody in the earth. And so God make such a man. He called him a total man. He put his image on him. Pam. And then his likeness, that is the ability to do. Say, I have the ability to do. All right. I said, a product reflects the true nature or character of its maker. Hence, the total man is a miniature God and is also positioned higher in rank than the angels. And you're going to see that very, very shortly. God made you in his image. That is, you bear his signature, you bear his true character and nature, and then he also puts his likeness in you, his ability. Ability gives us the license to do the impossible. God never fails. So I believe he created man that should not fail. Even though man has its own frailties after the fall, but the original creation of God that is referred to as the total man is without blemish. And I think I skipped that. The total man is the original creation of man. It's the original creation of man before the fall. That is what man was before sin crept in. You discover that man in its existence was without corruption. There was no godlessness until sin came in. So sin was like a virus that came in and, you know, disrupt the operation of God. But thank God for the redemptive plan that came to rebrand us again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are we following me tonight? All right. So the number one characteristic, like I said, of a total man is that the total man bears the image of its creator and its likeness. So you actually carries the true nature and the character of God, and then you also embodies his ability. Before you say to yourself that you cannot do anything, ask if God can do it. All right? You want to ask if God, who is your creator, who is your maker, can't do it, then before you conclude that you cannot do it. So if your answer is yes, you can do it, then that means you have the propensity to do that thing. I think there's a wisdom quote that says that impossibility is in our mind. All right? In fact, impossibility is not in the dictionary of God. And I believe God's dictionary is also part of the program that he built into us. So it is our conformity with the world that we pick impossibility from. That means we need to declutter our mind. Amen? And how do we do that? I'll get there. We renew ourselves daily in the word of God. A total man does not try to conform himself or try to fit in into the mold of the world's system. So let me say another thing about the total man, which I call characteristics number two. Oh, okay, before I jump there, let me quickly say, let me just go there. The total man embodies the culture of its maker. I want you to say that after me. Say, the total man embodies the culture of his maker. I'm going to explain that very quickly. Let's turn our Bibles very quickly to Psalm. The book of Psalm, chapter 8. We are very familiar with that scripture. Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. This is like a conversation and a discovery. Psalm 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. The original Hebrew word in that line is God has made him a little lower than Elohim. He made him a little lower than himself. So he's not even in the rank of angels. And has crowned him with glory and honor. Let me stop there. My emphasis is on glory and honor. Say glory and honor. Now, the word glory is the same word that translates culture. All right? So, God has built into the total man the culture of his kingdom. There is a kingdom culture, all right? The home country where we came from, and there is the culture of the earth after the fallen state of man. All right? But the original culture of man, or the original culture of the total man, is the culture of the kingdom of God. And that is glory and honor. When you talk about culture, or let me say it this way, the total man embodies the culture of its maker. Yes, the tradition of the home country. So there is a tradition of the kingdom. There is the culture of the kingdom. Culture is not in land. There is nothing like culture in the piece of land. No, culture is actually in people. What do I say? Culture is in people. When you're looking for culture, you find it in people, not in the piece of land. Ibadan, as one of the states of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, does not have a culture. The people, the inhabitants of this territory produced culture. They are the one responsible for the produce of culture. Are you hearing me? And how do I know this? In my findings, I discovered that these guys are very vast. At the Romans, they found out that it takes only 300 men in one place to develop a culture. If you want to develop a culture, just put 300 people of the same tribe in a particular country. And you can find an example of that in the U.S. There's a place we call the Chinatown in the U.S. How many of you know Chinatown in the U.S.? The United States is a country. Now we have China people, the Chinese, they have a place for them in the United States where they call the Chinatown. How did that happen? Just a group of them, maybe about 200. They gave birth to culture in that place. So they have their own markets. They have where they trade in that same place. They call it the Chinatown. We have such places all over the world too, where we have immigrants who come into a particular country and they build culture in that space. That's to tell you that the culture of the land is in the people of the land. And God built a product, he called him a total man, and he built into him his culture
And his culture is his glory. And he crowned him with honor. So that means everywhere you go, you are meant to release the culture or the glory of God. Because it's within you. You wear it like a garment. You wear it like a perfume. So when you go anywhere, they can smell the aura of the kingdom of God in you. Are you following me, people? So the total man, another indicator, is that he embodies the culture of the kingdom of heaven. I'm running very fast because of this time that is winking at me. All right. But I hope we are following me tonight. All right. Now, another characteristic of the total man is that the total man is complete and completely immersed in Christ and not under the rule of his flesh. He is in charge. Another way you identify the total man is that he is complete. You remember one of the phrases that we used the other time to redefine the word total is complete. You don't need no external head to add to yourself to become total. When you say total, you mean complete, whole, like whole, no external support, right? You don't need other people's approval. You already got the approval you need. You are complete. And we see that in, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians. Colossians 9 and verse 2. Colossians 2 and verse 9. Colossians 2 and verse 9. You're going to see something here very quickly. Colossians 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily? What? Well, he was talking about Christ here. "For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10. And now he's talking about the total man. He's talking about you now. "And you are complete in him." In who? Thank you. In who are you complete? Thank you. "Which is the head of all principality and power." Verse 11. Verse 11. "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." I want you to picture it this way. In God dwell the entirety of the kingdom of heaven. Because that's what the Bible makes clear to us now. Like, Christ embodies heaven. In him dwells the richness and the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God, the Father, the Holy Spirit are accommodated in Christ. Now, we are now told that we, humans, the total man, we are made complete in Christ. Are you following me? You are complete in Christ. Now, one of the significance of that is that it helps you to gain mastery over your flesh. Remember, your flesh, your body, is one of the parts of your anatomy, right? Yeah. In fact, it's like one of our arch enemy, the body. I mean, the body, oftentimes, contend with us. When we want to do something positive, we want to do something spiritual, but the body wants to do something else. I mean, you want to fast, consecrate yourself to the Lord, but your body wants to eat. Your body is crying for something else. It's crying for Domino's. I mean, it's crying for Chrysalis. It's crying for Ultima and all of those things that we, you know, like to eat. And, of course, I think the majority have been in this kind of thing. Like, we've experienced it. When all this while that you are not, I mean, sometimes when you are not even fasting, I mean, many of us don't even eat early enough. But the day you decide that tomorrow I'm going to start fasting, you can be sure that the very first thing that wakes you up is what? The body clamoring for food. And not like you didn't eat last night. You did eat, but that's just to tell you that the body, your body will continue and will never stop being an antithesis of faith. Your body will always go the opposite direction of faith because your body is never born again. It is the spirit man that becomes born again. It is the spirit of the man that is regenerated. But over time, with training and discipline of the spirit, you get your soul on board. And when the soul is on board, the soul is fully immersed. I mean, the soul is being renewed daily in the word and in prayer, in fellowship with God, constant communion with God. You get to see that your mind begins to, you know, get a total shift. You begin to declutter your mind from every form of virus, godlessness, and the corruption that came with the Adamic nature. So your mind, your will, and your emotions become accustomed to its original nature. And that's what we call recreation. You know, when man is born again, when we become born again, we call that recreation. We become recreated. Now, why did we say recreated? Do you recreate what has not been created before? So that's to tell you, we were created before, but we become recreated. And when you recreate something, you don't go forward. You actually go back to its original nature. And that's the essence of the redemptive work on the cross. We lost it from the beginning. So the attempt to bring us back is to bring us back to the beginning. And then we begin to make progress. God did what he did to restore us back to the original, to the default setting. The default setting of a man is the perfect man, is the total man, is the man that its mind, will, and emotion is on God. His affection is on God. His will is in alignment with God. And of course, his spirit always in harmony with God. So the total man is complete and totally, completely immersed in Christ. And our completeness in Christ, like I said, helps us to do what? To gain ascendancy over our flesh. So we are no longer slave to our flesh. When our flesh, when it tends to give some kind of proposition, we can say, no, we're not doing that. We will go the way of the Lord. Why? Because we are complete in the Lord. We choose to attach ourselves to the essence of God and to detach ourselves from whatever is going to bring shame or ridicule to his name. Are we following me this evening as I round up tonight? My time is just less than a minute. Now, the total man has his personal philosophies, beliefs, and traditions rooted in the doctrines and the tenets of the scripture. Just like we saw in the scripture we just read in what's it called? Colossians 2 and verse 9. If you look at verse 8, media, please help us with verse 8. He actually gave us a caution right here. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Then verse 9. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, there is no other philosophies or no other beliefs that hold
in the doctrine and tenets of the scripture. Our worldview is shaped and fashioned by the word of truth. We don't just do things anyhow. We tend to submit it to the authority of Christ. Whatever we cannot find the basis or the premise for in the word, then we know that this does not fit in. We don't try to squeeze it in and say, let's just, there's no law against it anyways. No. We want to really search and dig and be sure that this actually aligns with the kingdom culture, with the kingdom values and morals. Hallelujah. So if Christ is the head over principalities and powers, and you are complete in him, therefore the total man actually possesses the same power and authority over all levels of the satanic system in existence. Doesn't that make you happy? That if Christ is the head of all principalities, he has authority over them, and he has created you, you are complete in him, you also possess that same power and authority. As a matter of fact, he has given you the power and authority. The total man actually possesses the power and authority over all levels of systems, over the rulers of the darkness of the world, over the spiritual wickedness in high places, over principalities and powers, like the four cardinal enemies that you can ever think of. So the total man ought to live from the inside out, not otherwise. How do we live? We live from the inside out, because we are complete in Christ, and Christ is in us, right? So we live from the inside out. We get our strength, our wisdom, our sustenance. We get it from within. You know, how do we do that? We do well to connect to the home country just by focusing on what we got, and that's Jesus Christ. And lastly, as I round up, the total man exists for the purpose of revealing Jesus on earth, and Jesus being revealed to him at the end of time. I'll say that again. The total man does what? Exists for the purpose of revealing Jesus on earth, and Jesus being revealed to him at the end of time. There is no other configuration for the total man. The total man exists for this one purpose. Whatever you do, however you do it, because you embody the wisdom of God, so you are operating like God. So everything you do will be to the intent that Jesus is revealed to the world. It is a selfless service to an end. And to what end? To the end that all men are redirected to Jesus, that they may see the light of God in you. Because we have been set as a hill, or as a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Jesus Christ said, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So, the light is in us, right? And as a total man, when we understand this purpose, when we understand that the reason why I am on earth, the reason why I got this job, the reason why God gave me this job, or the reason why I got this admission, is not just so I can focus squarely on my academics. It's not just so that I can focus squarely on, you know, doing my due diligence at work. Those are good works. In fact, those are good works that glorify God, because your success is good for God. It's not just good for you. Your success is actually good for God. The success of any product is good for the manufacturer. Remember, the manufacturer puts his what? His name, his reputation on the line. So Jesus, or God, puts his image on you. Have you ever wondered when man failed or when man malfunctioned in the Garden of Eden, it took him to come down and fix us? Why did you think he did that? You think because he just loved you? No. He did it for his reputation, for his name's sake. Because his name is on the line. Because when he made you, you were perfect. You were already tested and proven you were good. Until the virus came in the name of sin. And he had to still come and fix you to make you a total man again. So a total man, like I said, number one, from the scriptures we've read, a total man, can somebody remind me what number one is? The total man bears the image of its creator and his likeness. Image talks about the character and the nature of God. And his likeness talks about the ability of God. Don't ever say that you cannot do anything. Don't ever say that you have not been destined to do this thing. It is some people that are special. No, you have the ability of God in you to do anything you can ever think or imagine. Are you hearing me? Number two, the total man is what? He embodies the culture of its maker. So that means if peradventure you find something else that is not godly, you can begin to nip it at the board. You can begin to, you know, deal with it. This does not align with the culture of heaven. This does not speak well of the kingdom that I belong. All right, the number three, the total man is what? Is complete and completely immersed in Christ and not under the rule of his flesh. You are not your body. Say to yourself, say, I am not my body. Mm-hmm. So know that tonight and know peace. You are not your body. Many times your body will clamor for legitimate needs that are not necessarily right. They are good, but not right. So it is a discipline of God's wisdom that comes in play. That, okay, you know what? We're not doing that. We do this. Huh? We're not doing that. We do this. It's just like somebody who is already, trying to watch his or her weight, right? Now, for such a fella, if you ask him or her, is it good to do some, you know, Chicken Republic, right? Is it good? Is it okay to kind of like feed on their chicken pie or their meat pie or do their combo of chicken pie, meat pie, and hot dog and all of those things? Right? Yeah, you say it good, right? But is it right for such a person who's trying to watch his or her weight? Huh? I mean, ordinarily, chicken pie will not bite. Amen? But you are trying to, you know, I mean, you're trying to watch your weight. You're trying to slim down a little bit, if that's a better way. I'm not against fat people. Fat is good. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm not against people that are on the big side. It's good. Even me, I want to add weight. Hallelujah. But I'm saying you have a priority to actually, you know, discipline yourself to feed right. So you have to choose right over good, okay? So because you are a total man, you are complete in Christ, you're completely immersed in Christ, it gives you the ability to silence your voice and it helps you to make the right decision over many things in your life. And lastly, the total man is what? The total man exists for the purpose of revealing Jesus. The long and short of everything is that you have been made for just one purpose, which is what? To reveal Jesus to the world. And we all gonna do that, but we're gonna do it in different ways because we have all been endowed with diverse skills and gifts. So it is in those areas of our giftings that we are going to reveal Jesus to the world. Not everybody will face one
direction. A lot of fields in the world. Some people it's in education, some people in law, some people in medicine and surgery, some people in IT. But wherever you find yourself, wherever you are, wherever God has positioned you, bear it in your mind that God puts you there in order for you to release the kingdom during. So I end up by saying the total man is every man who accepts the life of God in them or in their human spirit. The total man is every man who accepts the life of God in their human spirit and are committed to renewing their mind daily. Don't say because you are born again now, you think that everything will just happen overnight. No, the transformation process has just begun. And it keeps getting better as you cooperate with God in the process of your mind renewal. Your mind renewal will not just happen automatically. You set the process on motion the day you made the decision. So you need to be committed to it. The renewal of your mind is a daily enterprise. It's a daily investment. Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body daily. Now, that's one part of your anatomy that needs some kind of beating, discipline. And it does it daily. So you have to do it daily too. So you do the buffet of your body daily. You do the renewal of your mind daily. It's a daily, daily thing. You don't do it one day and then. So consistency is required. In fact, consistency is the key to breakthrough. Since a man that eats the gym and does just 30 minutes workout and he never misses a day, every day 30 minutes. Now, it will be more effective than somebody who just visits the gym in maybe 2 days in a week and does 1 hour or maybe even does 3 hours. Now, you cannot compare the result that the both of them would get. Somebody who does just 30 minutes every day, hitting the gym 30 minutes every day, and somebody would just go there twice and does like 3 hours. Say, okay, you know what? I'll do 3 hours the first time. It will cover for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Then Friday, I will come again and do another. Now, you cannot compare the outcome of the both of them. You can already tell what's going to be the end of both. So God wants us to be intentional with the way we take control over these three dimensions of our anatomy. But know today that you are a total man and you have been given the ability to master your spirit, your soul, and your body. Did you all get that? Amen. I believe you got something out of that. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to stop there right now. Amen. Let's just clap our hands for Jesus. If you got anything at all, our time is fast spent already.